Okay, this week is Parshas Lakalim on this Shabbos. This week is Parshas Bichul Koisai. It's Shabbos Chazak. Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. Okay, it's been a nice stretch. And Chumash Vayikra. Chumash Vayikra is the Parshas of Taharis. Yavoi Tohoidim Yasek B'Taharis. Children, this is the chumash of the children. Children, the first thing they're taught in yeshiva, it used to be in the old days, is chumash vayikra. Because chumash vayikra deals with taharis, and the whole chumash deals with tahara of Klal Yisrael. It's also Shabbos Mevorchim. Mevorchim Chodesh Sivan. Chodesh of Matan Torah. And it is also L'taychecha. L'taychecha obviously is not a very fun thing to read about, to read. L'taychecha of, Dr. Fruchta, Shalom Aleichem, welcome, nice to see you. Good to see you. He was here before, he came here a few times. Okay, so we have over here Shabbos Nevorchim, Shabbos. It's the Teuchecha, Tzchumash Vayikra, Chazak Chazak. And I don't want to, you know, you can't, also Dr. Fruchter came. You know why Dr. Fruchter came today? Because he's a medical doctor. And he's a medical doctor. He's treated thousands of patients. And the last pasuk of the Haftarah is about refuah. Let me embarrass myself and say the wrong words. Let me read you the Haftarah. Refa'eni Hashem ve'ei rofei. Hoshi'enu, let me read it inside. Here we go. Haftarah is, Refa'eni Hashem ve'ei rofei. Hoshi'enu ve'ivashaya ki sihi lo si ota. And we actually take this pasuk and we adapt it for the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, Dr. Phil Freeman is also a medical doctor. He's looking at me right in my eyes. How come I didn't mention him? I tip my hat. Kol hakavod. What?
What about the dentists?
All the dentists, that's right. You should know the pain you have in your mouth. I've gone through my share of dental procedures. And you got it. There's no pain like a pain in the tooth.
I'm the biggest
guy. Okay, so yeah, you know what?
Never mind.
What did he say? Okay.
You don't want to know.
All right, but we are only here with four. This is a very powerful principle. The concept is a very interesting thing. Why the Haftarah ends off? Maybe we'll discuss that. With Eni Hashem ve'irafei hosh Eni b'nigashaki silosi ota. The principle of refuah. Refuah, when we are mispalel for refuah, we always are mispalel refuah sanefesh or refuah sanguf. And that usually is understood to mean that every physical ailment is rooted in a spiritual problem. And Hashem, when we are in need of refuah, we are mispalel to Hashem, it somehow triggers within us an awareness. Every person knows what is the issue, an awareness to be mechazik ourselves in ruchnius, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a very big chizuk, it's a tremendous chizuk that when the Haftarah is up, the last thing that we actually read from scripture is a bakasha of refuah. And you know, we're living now in very difficult times. Everyone, the last 2.5 years already, 2 years more, 2.5 years, we're dealing with times of terrible illness. Terrible things are happening. And certainly this week it should be a chazak, v'nis chazek, a chizuk. For what we're going to read over here, Refa'eni Hashem ve'erofei hoshe'eni ve'ivashaki simosi ota, the attack of the world, and everyone b'chal v'prat shav v'refuah. So there's a lot going on in this week's parasha. Now I want to discuss for a moment, we'll see a few things. One is, what exactly is the difference between this Teuchecha, the Teuchecha parashas Tichu Koisai verse, the Teuchecha of parashas Ki Sofa. Why? What is the difference between the two? So, one was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Teuchecha Parashas Kisavon was composed by a human being, whereas the Teuchecha in Parashas, this week's Parashah, was composed by Hashem. So, in that respect, it's more severe. Because
singular and plural.
One isn't singular. What's written over here. Right? There are many differences. There are many differences. But I want to focus on one specific element. Right? Rav Chol is correct. There are many differences. Chazal elaborated upon them. But one we don't really mention is, what are we coming to rectify? What is the root of how did all of this happen? Now, Rachmana Litzlan, you find yourself in a very difficult situation. There's a tragedy. There is trouble. How did we get here? How did all of this start? Nothing just happens in a vacuum. Things, when we are confronted with difficult situations, they come about because of a sequence of events. Where does it all start from? So in Parshas Kisavai, it doesn't really say very much. All it says is, if you're not going to listen to Hashem, okay, let me go turn to the page of Parshas Kisavai. It's pretty straightforward. If you're not going to listen to Hashem, V'hoya, it starts of V'hoya im Shamaya Tishma B'koil Hashem Elokecha. Lishmar la'asois, it's called mitzvaysav. You're going to guard, you're going to do Hashem's commandments. Asher anochi mitzavecha hayoim. Then Hashem will own the son of Hashem elyoin al kol goy haretz. And you'll be blessed with all these blessings will overtake you. Baruch atah bo'yo, baruch atah basode, v'chulu v'chulu. And then it says, and what's going to happen if you're not going to listen? V'hoya And then all of a sudden, there's the parallel that begins all of the horrible curses. This week's parasha, there's something very specific. And it's really unique to Rashi, because as we learned during the Targum doesn't say this, doesn't go down this path, and it's not explicit in the parasha. It's all about Amelin the Torah. Parshas Bichukosai begins, first the Brachos, Im Bichukosai Telechu. Rashi. What does this mean? What are the chukim? Yochon, if not for anything else, I would assume ze kiyum hamitzvos. Just like in Parshas Kisavai. In Parshas Kisavai, it's all about the mitzvos. If you're not going to guard and do and observe the Taryag mitzvahs, you're going to have trouble. And that's what I would assume is referring to over here, Yochol, Zeh, Kiyama mitzvahs. However, Kishuhu Oimer, but when it says later, the next expression, V'es mitzvahsai tishmeru, harei kiyum ha-mitzvahs amur, that's the mitzvahs. Ho, mo, ani, mekayim, im, bichukosai, telechu. So Rashi tells us the secret. Shetihyu amelim b'toira. To toil in the study. Okay, this is understood in the study, the learning, the Jewish education. A person should be diligent in advancing his Jewish education. And that just doesn't mean only for oneself. It means, obviously, the whole gamut. It means Klal Yisrael has a very great responsibility to make sure no child will be left behind. Jewish education.
And that's a very hard shot. If it meant to you, Amelin Litoy, we should have said that.
Excellent. Your question is a very valid question. It bothers me just as much, and especially Targum makes no mention of this. Targum just says, "In Bik Yomai Tehochun." He just says, you'll observe my mitzvos, my commandments. You're right, but this is a very popular Rashi. Rashi over here is saying this is not his own idea. He's citing Toiras Kohanim, Parshas Bichukosai, okay? Yochol, I would think, ze kiyum ha-mitzvos, kishu'oimer, v'es mitzvosai tishmaru. We already know mitzvos. Harei kiyum ha-mitzvos, v'amuhomani mekayim min bichukosai tilechu, shetiyu amelim b'toira. Now, when the Toicha actually begins, and we have the reverse. V'im lo sishmu'uli, v'lo yisasu, eis kol ha-mitzvah so'ela, v'im b'chukosai timosu, v'imes mishpotai tigal nafshechem, l'vil yasas eis kol mitzvah sa'i, nafshechem es brisi, pasuk yudalit, Rashi, v'im lo yisishmu'uli, l'hiyois amelim b'toira. Again, Rashi emphasizes that the entire Teichacha is built upon the foundation of Amelim Torah. Ladas, to know, and to clarify what it means. What does it mean, Amelim Torah? Rashi adds even more, Uladas Medrash Chachamim. To know exactly how the rabbis expound the drashos, the specific drashos in the Torah, taking every single word of the Torah, expounding upon it to bring out the halacha, what it actually means. It's basically a daf gemara, the midrash chazal. Then he repeats, Yochol l'kima mitzvah. No, it doesn't mean the mitzvah. Kishoyme v'loy v'loy sasu harikim mitzvah. Harmani mekayim yeskvim loy sishmu. So that it says later on. So what then does the sidim loy sishmu lo yois amelim b'toira? Rashi, he hammers this down. He makes, don't make no mistake about it. This is the introduction to the Teichacha. This is the fundamental difference between the Teichacha in Parshas Bichu Koisai and the Teichacha in Parshas Kisavai. In Parshas Kisavai, there's a Teichacha if you're not going to be observant of the Tariag mitzvahs. That's Kisavo. There are mitzvahs. You have to wear tefillin. You have to observe Shemitah. Well, okay, of course Shemitah, but I'm going to get that back here. In Parshas Kisavo, it's about, did you do the mitzvahs that you are required to do today? Did you put on tefillin? Did you wear tzitzis? Did you shake a little of an eshug on sukkahs? Did you eat matzah? Are you nizer in shatnez, in klayim, kosher food? Just a matter of your behavior. That's Parshas Kisavo. Parshas Bichu Koisai, it's not about that. The opening salvo, the opening words of the root of all of the horrible things that are mentioned in the Teichacha is rooted in Amelim B'Torah. Do you value Jewish education? It's not just enough to observe mitzvahs. If your whole life is about observing mitzvahs without appreciating the value of the reason behind the mitzvahs, the drashos, where it comes from, having a flavor of education, it's not just a guide, then it's a downhill battle. Then you're going to end up in a place that you don't want to be. The opening warning for the Teichacha is an appreciation of the value of learning and studying Torah. Now, let's try to prove that point to a degree. One of the major themes of the Teichacha in this week's parasha is the number 7. Rashi consistently, over and over again, he counts 7 averos. Seven averos that we have done, which result in 7 punishments. And then there's a continuous cycle, 7, 7, 7. He's always listing 7 different elements with 7 different punishments. Sheva, the pasuk actually says it itself, Sheva kechatoi seichem. Okay, and this will go, I'll read the pasuk. Pasuk chaf, v'sam lo rekoich achem, that you will consume for nothing all of your strength. You know, in other words, you will waste all of your strength. The lo yisitein artzichem es yivulav, etzhar etzlo yitein piryoi. Okay, well, this is then the next pasuk goes on. V'im telchem yibikeri, v'lo yisivu l'shmoyali, v'yosafti aleichem maka, I will add to your maka, sheva, 7, kichatoy seichem. I will punish you 7 times, 7 punishments, corresponding to your 7 sins. Rashi, sheva kichatoy seichem, sheva poronios acheros, b'mispar sheva, in the number of 7, kichatoy seichem. And what is the number 7 all about? The number 7 all about is obviously all about Shabbos. Shabbos is holy. There's something called Shabbos Kodesh. Furthermore, in the Teichacha, Rashi is long Rashi, and Rashi says that this entire Teichacha came true. When did this Teichacha come true? It came true with the Churban Bayis Rishon. And how long, for how many years, did this Teichecha, all of the horrible things that it says over here, come true for? For how many years was the duration of the Teichecha? Exactly 70 years, corresponding to the 70 years that Klal Yisrael did not observe Shemitah and Yovel when they lived in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says, "Oz then, when this Teichecha comes upon you, the earth will rest, will be appeased for the Shabbosais. Kol yimei ha'shama, all the days of desolation, while v'atem you be'eretz oyveichem, you are amongst, living amongst the land of your enemies. Oz then, tishpas ha'aretz, the earth will rest, v'hiritzas es Shabbosaiseha, and will be appeased for the violation of its Shabbosis. Okay, and it goes on, this idea, the theme repeats itself throughout the entire Teichecha, and what he's basically saying is that the Teichecha, in a nutshell, the Teichecha will be fulfilled in its fullness with the Churban Bayis Rishon, when the Jewish people will go into exile for exactly 70 years. Those 70 years will be the fulfillment of this Teichecha, and it will be in punishment for not observing 70 Shemitois and 7, including 70 Shemitois and Yovlois, when you lived in the land. And Rashi makes the calculation.
And therefore, the Golus will be 70.
Will be exactly 70 years. And Rashi makes the calculation. He goes through that how many years did the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael? From the time they came into Eretz Yisrael until the Churban Bayis Rishon was what, 900 years, approximately 900 years. They built the Bayis Rishon 480 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Bayis Rishon stood for 410 years. So that is that is 890 years. Is that correct? 890 years. 480, it was 480 from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so it's really 440. It's 440 because the first 40 years they were in Mitzrayim, so it's 440 plus 410, 850 years. 850 years from the time they came into Eretz Yisrael until the base of Chabad Sevesh was destroyed, and Rashi makes a calculation which eras of those 850 years to the Jewish people did they observe Shemitah, and which eras did they not observe Shemitah and Yovel. And Rashi makes a precise calculation. It comes out there were exactly 70 years where they did not observe Shabbos, they did not observe Yovel, and therefore the earth needs to be paid for the violation. Therefore they will be godless for 70 years to pay off the debt. And that is when this Teichecha will be fulfilled. So now we have to understand something. We have over here, we presented two very different reasons as to why this Teichecha is being played out. The Psukim themselves in the Teichecha tell us it's because of the violation of Shemitah. That's why all of this, that's where we've gone wrong. That is the starting point where we've deviated from our mission, which led ultimately to the tragedy of the Teichecha and the Churban. On the other hand, we presented an entirely different reason. We would have seemed to have nothing to do with this. And that is the opening words of the Teichecha, both the Brachos and the Kololos, is if you're not going to be a Melim B'Torah, if you're not going to appreciate the value of Limud HaTorah, and this is contrast to the Teichecha in Parashas Kisavai, where there's no mention of Shemitah and Yovel whatsoever, and there's no mention of Amelim Mitorah. So why are these two things in this Teichecha grouped together? So the answer obviously is that these two things are two sides of the same coin. Now let's explain. Ordinarily, Parashas Bichukosai is read together with Parashas Bahar. This year is an exceptional year, it's a leap year, so we break the two apart. But ordinarily, they go together. In Parashas Bahar, I had a very big we had a whole discussion on this week. I told you I took an exam on Chumash Rashi exams. So they asked on the exam a question, and the question was, in last week's parasha, Parashas Bahar, parasha begins very, you know, very nice, tells you about Shemitah and Yovel, and tells you about Yirah Shemayim, and don't harm and do anything wrong to your friends. Al toynu ish es anisoy. And then out of nowhere, we really finished. We finished the entire sugya of Shemitah and Yovel. And then it says, last week's parasha, v'nosina ha'oretz pirya v'achaltem l'soiva v'shavtem l'vetach aleha. What's going to be if you're going to ask, Ma noichal bashono hashvis? Hein loy nizra, v'loy ne'esoif es tevu osein. We're not going to seed, we're not going to plant, we're not going to gather our grain. What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? So Hashem says, don't worry. Even though I told you that in Shemitah, you're not going to plant, you're not going to harvest, you're not going to work the land, you have nothing to worry about. I'm going to command my blessing in the year number 6, and it's going to produce triple. And you can have what to eat. You're going to plant in year number 6, and you'll have for number 6, 7, 8, and there's nothing to worry about. Now, the question on the exam was, there was an exam, and the question was, when will a person ask this question? V'chi, when the Torah says in Parshas Bahar, V'chi soimeru, if you will say, Ma noichal bashono hashviyas, what are we going to eat in year number 7? Hey loy nizra, v'loy ne'esoif es tevu aseinu. Exactly which year of the Shemitah cycle is a person going to ask the question that is stated in Parashas Bahar, Yechi Samu? Why would you say the end of the 6th?
Because if you're going to get this triple bounty in the 6th, then you already know the answer. But then to ask it would be at the beginning of 6.
You're saying that you're gonna ask the question in the beginning of the 6th year. Why?
Because,
say that again.
This is the last year before Shemitah. And again,
okay.
If Hashem promises to give you extra in 6.
Yes.
Then there's no doubt at that point. So the doubt has to arise at the beginning of the year.
The beginning of the 6th year.
Before you see how 6 turns
okay,
out.
Okay. That was the question, and that was the correct answer. And the person who wrote the answer to this question, he always has to ask the people, they have 900 people taking this exam, and he has to tell you where the answer is. So he wrote there in the answer key, that it doesn't say anywhere the answer to the question, but it's pashut. That's what he wrote. It doesn't say in Rashi.
It's logical.
It's logical. From the simple reading of the psukim, this is a test of the Chumash and Rashi, from the simple reading of the psukim, it's logical. Right? So I showed the person who administers the exam. First of all, you should know that the Ramban explicitly says that the question will be asked in the 7th year. Okay, you have to go through the Ramban. The Ramban explicitly says, sorry, Samikra, explicitly in the 7th year. But I said to him, I got the answer wrong. I selected the low esparesh, it's not answered. And I told him, it doesn't say it anywhere in the Pasuk. In fact, I always thought that you'll ask the question in the 1st year. What are you saying?
No, never mind.
Honestly, if you're a financial planner, if you're a statistician, if you're a the people who work in statistics.
No, the financial statistician.
No, but the people who work
an actuary.
You have to make plans many years down the line. You got to plan retirement packages. You got to plan. You know, you got to forecast. You know, the people with Social Security in the country, the people who run the government, in the Pentagon. They're crunching numbers.
You're
what's going to be in 50?
You're going to forecast for an 8-year cycle.
You have to make plans. What's going to be down the line? You have this is what people do the whole day.
Figure out about what's going to be next month.
100%. I don't know what's going to be today. Next month, what's going to be today, later today. But as if you're living in a society, in a Torah society, where every 7 years there's Shemitah, and now you're holding in year one, and you have a head on your shoulders, and you're planning ahead, wouldn't you ask this question the first year? I would ask this question the first year. I'm a very nervous person. I would ask this question the year one of Shemitah. It's now year one. We know that in 7 years from now, in the seventh year, if I'll still be around, then what are we going to eat? I think we would be smart and wise to plan. Didn't Yosef HaTzadik plan ahead? Paro had a dream.
But that's only him.
What?
That's only him and his genius mind. Everybody else didn't.
Okay, but we can learn from Yosef. There's a school of business named after Joseph. The warden, Joseph's school of business. This Yosef says to Paro, look at Paro, I had a dream. I had a dream, the fat cows, the thin cows, these bundles and those bundles. And what does Yosef say? Paro, Hashem told you that there's going to be a famine. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. So it's how many years from now? It's in 7 years from now. Paro, we have to start to plan right now. There's going to be 7 years of plenty. Let's get moving. Yosef HaTzadik asked the question in year one. No, in year one. I have his dream. Fat cows, bundles, thin bundles. He says, Paro, there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. We have to make a plan right now. Right now, let's start collecting.
He believed him because he was projecting it 7 years later.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't something great.
So he believed him, and what did they start? They started to plan immediately for 7 years. They began to collect for 7 years in advance. Then the famine kicks in, and then everyone. He was a brilliant. He saved the world. He saved the world because he went and planned in advance for 7 years. So why shouldn't we be the same? V'chisoymar, if you're going to say, manoichal b'ashana hashviyis. Where does it say anywhere in this pasuk that this question is going to be asked in the sixth year, as you're telling me that's when it's imminent? Because if I know next year I'm not going to be able to plan next year, so now it's year six, I'm worried what's going to be next year. If you're smart, izeu chacham haroya es hanoilad, you should already begin to worry and plan what's going to be at the earliest moment in time. Why? There are people all over the world in this country, the moment they have a child is born, they begin to set up a fund for their college education. It's extremely common in this country. Someone who has a job, they right away put away for their child. The moment the child is born, they do things for their child. They right away, they put away money for the future. No? Is that a fact? They're going to go to college in 18 years now, 17 years from now. They're already planning ahead. Yosef HaTzadik began to plan the famine 7 years in advance. If we are being told that in 7 years from now there's going to be a famine, the earth is not going to produce, so we have to start planning. So what would you do? Well, why don't you just, very interesting, that's the case in the first year, so why then don't people... Why don't they go put things away? Start putting away in year number one, put aside a certain amount of grain, you'll have what to eat in year seven. Every single year of the Shemitah cycle, you'll put away what's going to be in year number seven. So the Pasuk says something very fascinating. According to this interpretation, Torah says, I don't want you putting away. Instead, you know what I want you to do? I want you just to spend it all. Spend it all.
How would it retain its freshness without refrigeration for 7 years anyway?
Freezers.
Wait a minute, folks. We're talking about 2,000 years ago.
They must have had some way to preserve it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Didn't we learn that in Egypt they tried and it was all spoiled?
Miracle. It spoiled because it was a miracle that it spoiled. Other people who privately stored their grain spoiled because Hashem wanted everyone to come to Paro. But Yosef, what he put away, did not spoil. It remained fresh. Let's assume there is a technique. I don't know what the technique is, but let's make an assumption that there is a technique to preserve the grain in a climate where there is not moisture, that it will be preserved. You put it in a special box, in special types of chemicals, you add some rice, it'll absorb the moisture, and it'll be preserved for 7 years. Yosef HaTzadik planned 7 years in advance, and it worked. Today, look around in the world. People, they plan for the future. There are pensions, there's insurance, there are college funds. It's a mitzias. This is no grosa chachma. People plan ahead. So over here, the Torah presents, in the beginning of last week's parasha, a system. The system is there's 6 years you plant, and the seventh year is Shemitah, and every 49 years you have Yovel. Very good. Now, all of the wise men should sit down and come up with a plan of how people should put away a safety nest. They should prepare for themselves what's going to be every 7 years. Every year you put away a little bit so that when it comes to year seven, you'll have something to survive. Isn't that logical? What's this that you're going to first wake up the day before? Mi shemechin be'erev Shabbos, yoichel b'Shabbos. It comes Shabbos Kodesh. If you're not going to go prepare for Shabbos, you're not going to have what to eat. What's the big chokhmah over here? So all of a sudden, the Torah wakes up, and the Torah says something shocking. We don't need it. Why do we even need this pasuk? Why do we even need v'tzivisiyas b'ruchasi lochem ha'shonachar? Why do we need this? Why do we need this? In Parashas Bahar, the Torah presents a system. So take care of yourself. Put away every year, the 7 years, put away a little bit for Shemitah. What's the problem? What's the big deal? Along comes the Torah. The chisayim, if you're going to say, Manoicha, what are we going to eat? Bashana hashavis. That's a valid question. Okay? The Torah has to even mention the valid question. And when will you ask this question? Let's see how we can go. I would say ask this question year one. Year one, year two. Hey, loy nizel, loy nizel, loy nizel. So Hashem says something shocking. Hashem says, you know what? When you ask this question year one, I'm telling you a drush. I'm not telling you the MS. I'm telling you a drush. What are you going to do? It's usually not the MS. What do you do? What do you do? Hashem says you something shocking. In essence, he's telling you, and don't draw any conclusions for the 21st century. Obviously, we're not on this madrega, but on this exalted level of spirituality. Hashem is basically telling you, I don't want you to put away life savings. I don't want you to save anything. I want you to splurge. I want you to spend it all. I want you to give all your extra money to tztaka, my serisha, I want you to use, I give you a blessing, enjoy it. Oh, but if that's going to be the case, what's going to be in year number seven? Don't worry, Dad, I'll take care of you. V'tzivisi es birchosi lochem bashano hashishis v'yosos es hatzvua, and it will produce the tzvua l'shloi shashonim for 3 years. Uzrata, and you'll plan es hashana hashmidis, and he goes on to tell you Hashem is going to take care of you. The Oretz, you'll listen to me, Hashem, lo simocha, the tzmisus, ki li Oretz, ki ki gevim, v'soy, shumatim, v'adim, v'chol Oretz, v'chuskam, gula, to the Oretz, ki, there's a lot of different psalm over here. Okay, here's it. This is shocking. Hashem, in essence, is telling you,
don't plan ahead.
Don't be responsible. Don't be what every responsible person would do. I want your faith. I want you to have faith in me. By you having faith in me, I want you to spend all your money. Whatever blessing you have in year number one, enjoy it. Year number two, enjoy it. Just do, go, be natural. And when it come to year number six, you'll see. I don't want you to save. Hashem is telling us how to deal with the years of Shemitah. Now, how does a person actually, now what happened? What happened? What does the Teucha tell us? What does the Teucha Rashi reveal in the Parsha Teucha? The Jewish people didn't listen. What didn't they do? Now this is what's really shocking. You would think that they didn't, that if they don't want to listen to Hashem, you know, we don't trust you. You're going to give us the bracha. So what would they do then? If you would want to rebel, how would you rebel? I'm going to put away a little bit every single year. I'm going to call my financial advisor, and we're going to come up with a plan that every year we're going to put away a small amount. So in year 7, I'll have what to eat.
That's not what they did.
Instead, what did they do? They spent it all. They spent all their money. And then when it came to the year of Shemitah, they planted in the year of Shemitah also. That's not nice. That's not the way you're supposed to go. If you don't want to have faith in the Kaddish Baruch Hu that he's going to Vitzivisis B'chzidach HaMashana HaShishis, then what should you do? Don't go to an extreme. Don't go to an extreme of violating the laws of Shemitah. You don't need to do that. You don't need to violate the laws of Shemitah. Observe the laws of Shemitah. And because you don't trust Hashem, every single year, put away a little bit for the future, for a rainy day. Have a good company, you work for a real company, they may have a pension plan. They take away some of the money and they put it away. If you're not going to trust Hashem, you don't have to go become an apikoreis to an extreme, and go and violate Shemitah. Don't violate the Shemitah, and the way you will rebel against Hashem is an edelkeit. I'm not on such a high madrega to know what's going to be. Vitzivisius berachasi. So my financial planner will make an arrangement where some of the money that I make goes away for year number 7. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They went to an extreme. They spent every last penny they had in year number 1, knowing that when they get to year number 7, they're going to have nothing. And they're not going to rely upon it. And they planted in year 7. And they planted. So it turns out that where was the real violation? The real violation was year number 1, and year number 2, and year number 3, where they did not put anything away. They did not show faith. Do you mind if I make the air conditioner a little colder? Can I lower the air conditioner?
Yeah,
are you cold?
Yeah.
Where was the real violation of halakha? Where did they show? When you go into society, when you come into society, this society, and you're an outsider, and you look at society and you notice people, the fields are producing grain, and what are people doing? They're consuming every last kernel of grain. They're not putting away for the future. So you ask them, why are you people? Why don't you put away a little bit for a rainy day? You don't know what's going to be next year. Why are you eating all of your produce? They'll say, we have faith in Hashem.
Why?
Oh, wow, really? You have faith in Hashem? Really?
They don't put away because they have what they have, and they use what they have, and they don't put away. I'll worry about it later on if I need more.
We learn from Yosef at Tzaddik.
And I know if I really have faith in Hashem, I'll see you in the 6th year, but I have enough for the 7th. I don't have to start saving in year 1.
Yosef at Tzaddik.
This is what is what we need. We're going
to use it. Al derech hateva. Does it produce in the 6th year triple? Al derech hateva.
Well, have to worry about it in year 6.
But you don't have to worry about it in year 6. If you put away a little bit every single year, like Yosef put away for 7 years, he began to put away immediately. If you begin to, then you don't have any daigus. You don't have no daigus. The people are presenting themselves by not saving anything. You're tzaddikim. Wow, look at all of you. You're all very holy people. You have such emunah in Hashem that when it comes year 7, you're going to have a triple blessing in year number 6. You have faith in Hashem. Wow, very impressed. Very impressed with the spiritual standing of this community that they spend everything that they have. They enjoy life to its fullest because they have faith that Hashem is going to take care of them in year 6. But then when it comes year 7, you know what they do? They go out into the fields and they plant and they plow and they do whatever they want.
Because where's my triple in year six? If I don't see a triple in year six, then I'm gonna go, okay, hey, we had all this faith, everything happened, but it didn't happen.
Even
and
though
I had a plan.
If you had faith in Hashem, I hear what you're saying. I want to bring out the point what you're saying. I accept what you're saying. If you really had faith in Hashem in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when things don't work out for you in year number 6, and there's no triple blessing, and now year number 7, you're starving, you still do not, the faith that you invested in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 would not allow you to go into the field in year 7 and start planting.
Because there's no food.
What do you mean? I can go right now and do. I can go right now and plant. It's a revelation. If you in year number 7 go out into the field, look at that. Hashem, he fooled us. He told us he would give us triple, and he didn't. And now we're starving. So you know what? We're going to go out into the field and we're going to plant. So we'll have what to eat. You know what that is? That is a revelation that in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the reason why you spent all of your money. Because you really didn't believe. No, this is the opposite. You're a phony. You didn't believe in Hashem. If you really, think about it. If you really believed, again, you're 7, right now you're holding in year number 1. We're now planning ahead for year number 7. What's going to be in year number 7?
I believe.
If not for the Torah telling me, the natural thing, if not for these very mysterious psukim, if it's these psukim, which is really not part of the parasha. It's in the left field in last week's parasha. It's mechutz l'machaneh. It doesn't belong here. It doesn't belong in the Torah altogether. The Torah is not a miracle book. There are no miracles in the Torah. Torah is a hanig bohem minag derech eretz. The Torah teaches you there's something called Shemitah. Every seventh year, don't work the land. The land needs to rest. Don't destroy. You're going to destroy the earth. It's depleted of its nutrients. It needs to be refreshed. Okay, so what do? You plan ahead. They are financial planners. This is what they do the whole day. They figure out how to plan for a rainy day. 7 years to plan. No big deal.
They put away.
What?
They weren't told to do it. So B'derech HaTeva,
if not,
I plant this year, I eat this year.
If and not for sense. This pasuk here, we would just have the laws of Shemitah, and Hashem would not give us any blessings, any special mention of any blessings. What would Klal Yisrael have done? What if not for Vitzivisiyas Birchasi, we hear about Karen Hashvias, they come collecting in all the shuls and make appeals. What's this all about? Why do you have to have an organization called Karen Hashvias come to make a collection? What's this all about? Why, if there's going to be a Shemitah, if you're a farmer, and you know there's going to be a Shemitah in 7 years from now, why don't you structure your income, your parnasa, knowing that in year number 7 there is zero, and you better put money in the bank to have a safety nest, what's going to be in year number 7? What's the grace of Chochma? People do this every single day.
Sounds like the old
100% right. Why do we have a cash sheet? Why didn't they save for 7 years?
Right.
Why did they do it? I don't know. I can't answer that question. In today,
we live from check to check. 90% of the country in America lives from check to check.
And you don't think so? Then go back a thousand years ago. They
show
we
did that. So let's go back to the time we're not living. Obviously, today in the 21st century, we're not living in ideal times. People are extremely, there's poverty, there's terrible things that are going on in the world. 100%. But let's look at an ideal. The Torah is presenting certain ideals. Okay, Chumash VaYikra is a more pristine approach to life. In the more pristine approach to life, you make parnasa. The Torah would just present, this is the way the system works. The earth needs a rest. It's not, the whole world is in farming, that's the way it is. In America also, they don't plant every single year in every single field. You have to let the earth rejuvenate. So what do? You plan ahead. No one would have any problem. Along comes the Torah in Parash Bahar and says in a shocking chiddush, "V'chi soimru And when you're going to make ask this question, what are we going to do in year number 7? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the natural thing to say is we're going to put away every single year for 7 years. That's called being responsible. You don't want to be responsible. Listen, there are a lot of people that people commit suicide every day. We're not dealing with those. We're dealing with people who are responsible. But I want to tell you, I want you to live a not responsible life. That's shocking, right? I want to let you know that you don't need to put anything away. Because Vitzivisius Birchos Iluchem Bashona Hashishis. Very interesting. Now, all the farmers hear this, and you start doing this, okay? It's now year one. Am I putting anything away? Nope. I'd rather spend the extra money to make a bar mitzvah for my son, to buy a new pair of tefillin, to buy this, to buy that.
I was already given that hashtag that it's going to be good.
It's going to be good, right. And then comes year number two also. You live irresponsibly. Year number 3, year number 4. And then guess what happens? Hashem pulls the fast one on you. It's now year number 6, and guess what? You didn't get triple. Hashem fooled you. He pulled the fast one on you. It's year number 6.
Now I stop it.
And now it's year number 7. And now guess what? There's nothing in the bank. I'm going to become a schnorrer. I'm going to have to go collect it. What am I going to do? So I have two choices. I can become a collector, chas v'shalom, or you got a big problem, or
surviving.
You know what? I'll go out when no one's watching. I'll plant the field. I'll do whatever I want to go do. I am suggesting to you a matter of the human condition. This is a reality in the human condition, psychology. If you, on year number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, did not save any money and spent it all because I had emunah pshuta in Hashem, if I really did it for the real reason, I had emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in year number 6 and 7, if Hashem doesn't fulfill His promise to me and give me a triple blessing, I will still never, ever, ever go into the field in year number 7 and plow the field. I could not do that. It's impossible. If I was sincere, knew Hashem, how could this happen to me? How could you do this to me? I believed in you. You didn't reciprocate. It's a good kasha. But it is nature. It is the human condition. If I have faith in Hashem, Hashem, you didn't fulfill your promise. I'm not going to go and damage and throw in the garbage 6 years of emunah in Hashem. I'm not going to do that. Year number 7 will come. I'll starve to death rather than go into the field and go and plant the field. I would starve to death.
You're not allowed to do that.
What do you mean not allowed to do that?
You're not allowed to do that. You can't let yourself die.
Okay, so maybe Bikuach Nefesh will be, if it's Mamish Bikuach Nefesh, so then you're right. Then you're allowed to go play. But let's say that it's not going to be a very good year for you, to say the least. You'll have to be...
Extreme diet.
The extreme diet, or there's going to be some humiliation of asking for Keren Hashviyas to come to your rescue. It'll be an extreme humiliation. But you're not going to be able... to go into the field and work the land. Impossible. If I had faith in Hashem, for 6 years, I believed, I'm a maimon in Hashem. He told me, don't worry, spend all your money. I'm going to take care of you in year number 6. Hashem, you betrayed me. I have faith in you. Will I go and rebel against Hashem in year number 7? I'm suggesting to you, impossible. So how come then we find that in the Toichecha, it came year number 7, and you know what they did? We got nothing to eat. So let's now go into the field and plant and plow and prune and work the land. Because if we don't, we're not going to have any parnasa. What do you mean? Why do you need to go to such an extreme? Why didn't you be responsible. If you don't want to be a maimon, you could have put away a little bit every single year. Put away. So you know the answer is? So the answer is?
It only shows that I had a week.
Let me finish. So you know what the answer is? The reason why you put away, you did not save any money, any food during this first 6 years, it's because it had nothing to do with Emuna. It's because you're living an irresponsible life. Because if you really spent all the money, it's natural for a person. It's natural for a person to live responsibly. It is. You'll tell me in America today, people don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Live in America today.
Already, I don't have emunah. Once I start putting away in year one, it means that I gave up on my emunah then.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Of course it does.
It doesn't.
I'm putting away. Don't tell me to be responsible. I have emunah. I thought your brother was going to get it. In year 6, 7, when I stop and don't see it, then I lost my emunah. It doesn't mean that I didn't have it to begin with. I lost it.
These are dvarim. We're arguing over here about human psychology and the muna and dvarim the bimah shel olam. But hear me out. I hear what you're saying, but you good. If you don't disagree, I'm thrilled that you should disagree, because that means at least you hear what I have to say. but I believe there's some element of truth that I'm saying.
Let the rabbi talk.
Okay, I believe.
Leave him alone for a minute. Do me a favor.
Someone came to my defense. Mr. Rappaport came to my defense. There's an element of truth. A person by nature wants to be responsible. I know you'll tell me in America everyone is living from paycheck to paycheck. That's because we have no choice. That's because, unfortunately, society has unraveled to a degree which is impossible to survive anymore in this world. But a person naturally wants to live a responsible life. So this person, you know, you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you're spending every penny that you have, you're not living a responsible life. Here's the challenge, why not? So you can say, because I'm religious. I'm a religious person. Hashem said, "Vitzivisi es birchasi l'cham hashanah hashishis." Very good. But you know what the litmus test is if you're really religious? The litmus test is what happens in year number 7 when Hashem doesn't come through for you. If you immediately rebel, you're a boy, you just drop the whole thing, and you right away run into your field to plant and plow, it goes to show the reason why the first 6 years you were irresponsible. It's not because you had faith in Hashem. It's because you're just living an irresponsible life. Because if the reason why you spent all your money was because you really had faith, it couldn't be. After doing this for 6 years, in a frame of mind of Emunas Hashem, and Hashem didn't come through for you, you wouldn't just give up throwing the towel so quickly. That's not the way it goes. That's not the way a person lives. A person, even though people are corrupt and they're crazy and they do strange things, deep down, a person has certain values, certain values. If for the first 6 years, here's the year, should I put away? Should I put away for the 7th year? Because what's going to be in year number 7? Look, in every country in this world, there are rules like this. Okay, there are rules. You talk about kidneys. One of the reasons why there's a sugya on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat kidneys, those who have a custom, is because of this reason itself. Because when they lived in Poland, Ukraine, no one was foolish to plant the field every single year. If you plant the field every single year, you won't have a field altogether. You'll deplete the nutrients. You have to let the land lie fallow every couple of years. So they either plant rice, they plant wheat, and things get all mixed up. And before you turn around, you can chametz on Pesach. So that's only because that's the way. There has to be a system put in place. That's what we would have done naturally. After the whole parish is over, the Torah says strange things. The Chisoimru, Manoichal Bashana Hashavis. You know that question? That question is asked in year number 1, in the very, very beginning. How do we plan? How do we plan our financial security? Hashem says, don't worry about that. I want you to live your life every year like don't worry about the future. You live with faith in Hashem. Now, go to the Teichacha. This week's parasha, the Teichacha, Rashi says, Sheva al chatoi secha and shav sarit. So here it says, shav sarit secha. Galus for 70 years because the Jewish people didn't observe 70 Shemitahs. What? They didn't observe 70 Shemitahs? What's going on? But didn't they, how could they not observe the Shemitahs? It was easy. They just put away a little bit every single year. You have a safety net. Who's going to play with fire and not observe the law of Shemitah? It must be they had nothing what to eat. Why did they have what to eat? Because all the years leading up until Shemitah, they spent everything. And here's the ikar. Why did they spend everything? This is what I'm trying to say is the Teichacha. Fakers. Phonies. I'm trying to say is, the reason why the Teichacha of 70 years, it's not because they worked the land. So they worked the land, big deal. So they were not in the sun. Tell me, does anyone today, you go to the, they have a Karen Ashvis, they show all these articles, they have all this literature, they're doing this incredible work, we're raising money for the farmers. Does anyone really have a taina today on a farmer who works in the year of Shemitah? Does anyone really have taina? I don't think anyone has taina on that. They're not all of our religious. It's a tremendous nesayin. There's hetzer mechira. No one today is in violation of halacha. No one's in violation of halacha. There's hetzer mechira. What do you want from them? You can't be.
It's the rabbanan, maybe the overlap.
Right. They're not holding by you. No, I don't think there's anyone today that has any complaint, chas v'shalom, against anyone who works the field in Shemitah. So you're going to tell me that because Klal Yisrael, they came 70 years, there were 70 Shemitahs in Jewish history, and the Jews, they went into the field and they plowed the field, they worked the field. That's why they suffered the Teichacha. Really? Is that fair to say? They were starving. For Parnassah, people will do for Parnassah, they will do a lot more. They will do crazy, crazy things. When you don't have what to eat, when you have a family to support, you have to pay tuition, you need Parnassah. So what are you going to do? I'm going to go into the field, I'm going to work the field in Shemitah. The problem is not because they actually work the land in the year of Shemitah. You know what the problem is? The problem is in the question. The problem was during the first 6 years. That's where the problem really is. During the first 6 years, why didn't you put away for Shemitah? Why? Why do you want to go and look bad in the eyes of the world that you're in violation of Shemitah? Why didn't you put away a little bit of savings for year number 7? That's what they do in every country. That's what you do in America. You get a job, you put away money for a pension. Social Security. This money put away for later on. Why didn't you do that? So you know what you told us? You know what you told the world? We have emunah in Hashem. We are ma'aminim. B'nei ma'aminim. That's why. We're ma'aminim. And then when it came year number 7, what did you say? We're starving to death. We have no choice but to go work the field. That is a contradiction. If you would have put away every single year a little bit, and would have put away a little bit every year, and then worked the land in year, and then it comes Shemitah, you want to work the land in Shemitah, there wouldn't have been a Teichacha. The fact that you did not act responsibly during the first 6 years and claimed it was because of your emunah, that is intolerable. You're a liar. You're a phony. Fakers. This is something where HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate. It says over and over, Yirah Shamayim, the whole parasha of Parashas Bahar is surrounded again and again, V'yoreisa me'elokecha. And Rashi says, Dover Hamosur L'liboy Shel Adam Nemar Bo V'yoreisa me'elokecha. If the reason why you did not save anything during the first 6 years is because you really had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible for you to have then worked the land in the year of Shemitah, when Hashem did not come through for you and provide you with a triple bracha. No, Hashem, for whatever reason, was not able to do it for me. I'm not going to abandon my faith. That's not the way it works. The fact that you were so willing to abandon your faith in the year of Shemitah and work the land shows that you never really had faith to begin with. If you never really had faith to begin with, so why then didn't you save a little bit every single year? The answer is because you're irresponsible. And yet, but to the eyes of the public, what did you tell them? I'm not irresponsible. I'm religious. You're a phony. You're not religious. You're a faker. That is where the toichacha is able to insert its claws. That's where the toichacha is able to get the person. It's the 6 years of the chis soimru, ma'andoichal ba'ashana ha'shviyas, and Hashem says, v'tzivisi es b'rchosilcham ba'ashana ha'shishis. That's where the problem starts. And what is the solution? Where does that come from? So that's what I'm trying to say is the other half of the coin is, im b'chukosai teilechu, im tihyu amelim b'toira. It's not the mitzvahs. It's a matter of attitude. A person that is heavily steeped in learning, as Rashi says, the midrashei chachamim. Torah is called emes. Emes kenevi al timkar. Yaakov ish, Yaakov is yoyshev or holim. Yaakov is an ish emes. The nature, the mitzvahs of learning Torah, amelus b'Torah, is an art of nurturing within your neshama the emes. You're able to challenge yourself, test yourself. Why? Why am I doing this? When a person lives a life of emes, then everything is different. Everything is different. A person doesn't feel that he's roy for the miracle of Shemitah. If I don't feel I'm deserving of the miracle of Shemitah, that I'm going to get, then I'll save every day, a little every year, a little bit. Like you do for your pension, you do for everything else in life. You put away something for a rainy day. I will. But if you don't have the midah of emes, you're a phony. You're a phony across the board in your entire life. Everything becomes a smokescreen. Everything becomes a lie. And then you're going to make believe. You're going to go make believe to keep up with the Joneses. You're going to, emunah. But it's going to come down at the end of the time to haunt you. I have to prove to you this thing. I want to prove this that I'm saying is correct because look at the language of the Pesukim. The Pesukim over here, right before the Parashas Bahar, look at the parallel of the words. The Parashas Bahar concludes the laws of Shemitah. And then it says at the end of the laws of Shemitah, V'sofar t'lucha, Shevesh av says t'mimah, it goes through all the laws of Shemitah. And then it begins as follows. And then it says, you should fear Hashem. And here's the beginning. It's in Parashas Bahar, Pasuk Yud Ches. I'm trying to say it's a very big Kiddush. V'asisem es chukosai v'es mishpotai tishmiru v'asisem oisom v'shavtem alo oretz lovetach. So I want to suggest that this pasuk in Parashas Bahar Va'asisem, it's not going back on the past. When we read the pasukim in Parashas Bahar, we go through Shemitah, Yovel, and then it discusses Ono, the laws of Ono. And then it says, you should be observant. Simply, it's reminding you, I taught you about the laws of Shemitah and Yovel and Ono. Observe all of these laws. Let's summarize everything together. And you live on the land Lobetach. And now that's by the end of the Aliyah. But that's not a new parsha. That's not a new parsha. That's not there's no parsha stuma, parsha psucha. There's nothing there. And now begins a new topic. Oh, a new topic. Doesn't make any sense. The whole flow doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to say is, Pasuk Yudches that tells you Va'asis Meskukosai is the introduction, what I want you to do to test yourself for the Chisoymru Ma'anoichal Ba'ashona Hashivis. The Torah is telling you, here we go. We're done with all. I want to give you an attitude how you're going to live in the land. I told you the rules of the land. The rules are there's Shemitah, there's Yovel, there's Oino. We're done. Now, let me tell you your attitude. Va'asisem, I'm going to teach you a choik. You know what the choik is? The choik, it makes no sense. The choik is going on v'chi soimru ma'anoicha. The choik refers to the question and the answer. I want you to do chukosai v'yes mishpotai tishmeru v'asisem oisam. I want you to do the following. The chukosai v'mishpotai tishmeru refers to the question and the answer. This is what I'm commanding you to do so that you will live on the land in security and you will have a blessing of satisfaction. What is the chuk and the mishpat that you shall guard and do? It's the question and answer. When you come to the Toichacha in Parashas B'chukosai, how does it start, the Toichacha? The Toichacha begins, V'im loy sishmu li, V'loy sasu es kol ha-mitzvah so'ele, V'im b'chukosai tim osu. V'im es, it's the same exact language. V'im es mishpatai tigal nachru. It's not going back on the beginning of the parasha. It's going back on Parshas Behar. Where Parshas, everyone thinks when it says over it's called Mitzvah. The in bichukosaitim also the in es mishvotai tigal nafshachem. So everyone will tell you that this pasuk in Parshas Bichukosai is going back to the beginning of Parshas Bichukosai. Parshas Bichukosai begins with blessings and then the converse to klolos. In bichukosaitim lechu. V'yes mitzvosai tishmeru v'asise moysom v'nosati gishmichem v'itam v'chulu v'chulu. No, that's not what it's going on in the Toichacha. When it says v'im b'chukosai timosu v'imes mishpotai tigal nafshechem, by the way, that's not even what it says in the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha says im b'chukosai tilech v'yes mitzvosai. The beginning of the parasha says chukim and mitzvos. Here, when it starts the Toichacha, it says chukosai and mishpotai. Not mitzvosai, it's not even the same words. It's not going back on the beginning of the parasha. It's going back to Parshas Behar. It's going back to the introduction to V'chi soimru ma'anoichal bashona hashish hashviyas. Hey, loy nizhav loy noisav estivu aseinu. If you're going to detest my attitude of how you're going to live in the land during the years of Shemitah, I told you I want you to spend every last penny you have during the 6 years. And year number 7, don't worry, I'll take care of you. If you're not going to like my attitude, you're going to detest that attitude, then I know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is you're going to end up making believe you're religious, and you're going to spend every single penny. You take the benefits of making believe you're religious and spending every last penny, and then when we'll come to the year of Shemitah, you'll abandon me, and you'll go and you'll live in the land, and that's where the whole Toichacha is going to come into effect. The Hakdama to the Toichacha in Parshas Bichukosai, Hashem says, I warn you, don't reject the question and the answer of Parshas Behar. The Parshas Behar, there's a question and there's an answer. It's very deep. The question and the answer. When will you ask the question and what does the answer mean to you? It's an attitude. The question and the answer is an attitude of how you live in Eretz Yisrael. And that is something I'm telling you is a choik. It doesn't make any sense. And it's a mishpat. And I'm telling you, guard it and do it. If you are going to detest the question to have a daiga, I don't want to have any questions. What am I going to eat in year number 7? I don't want to have any of those questions. And if you're not going to go and listen to my answers, my mishpat, how to go about this, you're going to reject this and you're going to go and make for yourself your own system. You're going to become thoroughly corrupt. And the end's going to be you're going to become a fakers in your religious observance. And you're going to violate all the laws of Shemitah anyway. And then the Toichacha is going to come upon you. the Toichacha is a parallel to the question and the answer. All right, to conclude, the end of the Toichacha, there's a very beautiful bracha, so I'm going to conclude this very short, is Hashem says, don't worry about the Toichacha. V'zocharti esbrisi Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham. At the end of the Toichacha, Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. Yaakov, I'll remember Yaakov, I'm going to remember Yitzchak, I'm going to remember Avraham. And the question is obviously why at the end of the Toichacha when there's Nechama, is it in the order in the reverse? Is it Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham? Why isn't it Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So Rashi says something very, very powerful. He loses something, and when it says, I'll remember Yaakov, Hakotan, and if it's not enough, Imoy, together with him, will bring in Yitzchak. And if that's not enough, I'll bring Imoy together with him, I'll bring in Avraham. In other words, what he's saying is, there's a very big difference between you say Zuchor le'Avraham le'Yitzchak le'Yaakov, it means one at a time. Whenever we ask Hashem to save us in the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's always one at a time. Hashem, remember the Zuchus of Avraham. That's not enough. Okay, Avraham, go back where you came from. Go back to your kever. And Yitzchak, in the Zuchus of Yitzchak, it's not enough. Okay, Yitzchak, go back home. Yaakov, come help us. If that's not enough, we're in a lot of trouble. Whenever we employ Zuchus of us in reverse, Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham, Rashi says, Imoy, Yaakov, come save us in your Zuchus. Hashem says, no, it's not. Okay, Yaakov, don't go anywhere. Stay put. Yitzchak, stand at his side. Oh, two together. The power, the sum is greater in the parts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Avraham, the koyach of all three coming together, that is much more potent. That is a koyach of achut ha-mishulash. The combination together, we have here the ultimate nechama in this week's parasha. You don't have this in the Chumash Devarim. You don't have this, in fact, anywhere else. B'chol ha-Torah kula. In the deepest Toichacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zozeh Lumazeh, Hashem built in the greatest Nechama, that Hashem should remember the Zuchus of Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham in reverse. Because when it says it in reverse, Rashi explains, it means they come together. Each one lived in their era in this world separately. Avraham did his thing. When Yitzchak came, even though there was 15 years of overlap in this world, they lived at the same time. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they overlapped for 15 years. But, you know, when Yaakov was alive, Avraham was very, very old. He was in a different era. He wasn't in his prime. Each one in the Torah, when they did their thing, was in their prime. Exclusively. They were mutually exclusive. Could you imagine having all three of them together, operating together as a team? Dream team, all-star team. That's the nechama of Parashas Bichu Koisai. Despite the greatest tsar, v'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, v'yaf es Yitzchak, v'yaf es brisi Avram, when they come together, Ima Rashi says, when you're going backwards, you're coming together. There is no equivalent to such a powerful nechama. May Taka be. She is zoicha to all the brachas. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Shalom. Chazak, chazak, v'nes chazek. Good Shabbos, everyone. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Shabbos.